Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros lost 2-3 against the Tampa Bay Rays over the weekend. It was more of the same from the Astros at the plate. They have scored just over 3 runs a game over their last 17. They're 7-10. In their last 7 games, they've scored just 16 runs. They only have 47 homers since Kyle Tucker got that shin contusion that's kept him out 2+ months. Only 3 lineups in all of baseball have less. It's been bad, Joe, and you're seeing all of the numbers that we saw that were at least top 10 not too long ago starting to drop. Now 10th in OPS, 10th in slugging, 11th in on-base percentage, 13th in runs, 16th in home runs in all of baseball. I understand that Kyle Tucker being out is a big albatross around their neck, but this is unacceptable.
It's just not, and it's not what they're capable of either. Like, that's the thing that's weird about this is that they're not just bad, they're terrible. I mean, they're terrible right now. And the more I've thought about it, the more I think that it's a giant funk for this team. You look back to the beginning of the season, like even when the team was really struggling, it was mostly the pitching. And you looked at offensive categories, like, you know, like they were losing all these games, they still led the league in hits. They still were at the top of on base percentage and all these different things. It was just, they were dreadful, dreadful with runners in scoring position. And that was really, between that and these disastrous pitching starts, was what was really killing them to start the season. And then everything started to kind of come together, and now the offense has dropped off a cliff once again. Because of what they did at the beginning of the season, where like they led the league in hits, I still believe there's a better offense in here. And so it's a funk, but I don't know if it's an offense that's capable of also winning a World Series or going back to the ALCS.
This offense is not capable of winning a World Series right now. That is for sure.
Yes.
It's just not.
I don't know. I don't think it's fair to say that's just because of Kyle Tucker.
No, it's definitely not fair to say it's just because of Kyle Tucker. I mean, they're underachieving. Things could be better, and slumps happen. So you can certainly explain a lot of this away by looking at it through that prism. But ultimately, you're getting all the help you can from a pitching staff that has done more than its share this year. And that's where I'm a little nervous.
So because do you think the pitching's going to fall apart still?
Look at what they've been doing.
I know.
Spencer Urquidy at 12 strikeouts for you. Are you kidding me? And I get it. The Rays can't hit. They had 41 strikeouts in total as a team over the weekend. Sort of takes a little bit of the excitement of Yusei Kikuchi getting 11 strikeouts on Friday away. But did you expect Kikuchi to do that in his first start? I sure didn't. Did you expect that out of Urquidy? I didn't. I didn't expect any of what we've seen out of Ronel Blanco this year. I didn't expect what we've seen out of Hunter Brown of late. The starting pitching, despite an ungodly amount of injuries, has actually done enough. The bullpen, of course, has had its many moments of pants poopage this season, but they've even settled down. Is there ever going to come a moment where all of these things align? I mean, that's going to have to happen if they're going to win the World Series. They could still easily win the American League West because the Mariners keep playing with their food. They're only a game out in the AL West after this weekend and after a start to the second half of the year that has been bad by their standard. The thing that you got to wonder about is, are they going to fall too far away from the Mariners over this coming month, given who they play? It is a tough schedule that is continuing. And with the pitching doing what it's doing, but not getting the run support, what happens when the pitching is a little more human? Which it stands to reason it will be, just based off of odds, off of logic.
Yeah, especially these next nine games where you play. So you play the Rangers, you play the Red Sox, you play the Rays. Well, six of the next nine games for the Mariners are against the Detroit Tigers. So if they go in there and they just roll over Detroit left and right, then yeah, to what you're saying, it's going to be more challenging because the Mariners are just giving you gifts again. Where at the beginning of the season, when you weren't playing well, they could have ran away with this thing to where you never could have caught them, and they still at one point had a 10-game lead in the division, and you caught them. And now you're playing like this where your offense can't do anything, and they're still playing poor enough to where you're still within striking distance, miraculously, of this division, and you are good enough to win the division. The pitching, what's hard is because we always believed there was going to be reinforcements coming. That it was even because we were always on the same page, I think, with Arrighetti and Blanco probably wasn't going to be sustainable for the long term of the season, but there was two to three guys coming back. Well, at this point, we can only really bank on Justin Verlander coming back. I don't think we can expect Luis Garcia to come back, and we know McCullers is not. Is the offense fixable without it? Maybe. Without Tucker. Maybe. Like, and not to where...
No, it's not. It's not. They have to have Tucker back. Like, I am convinced they need to have Tucker back now. But now my question is, okay, well, with Tucker back, what are they? Because of the way that they're playing right now. I mean, you take a look at the top of the order. The top of the order is stacked, at least from a names perspective. Bregman's been hitting better of late. Maybe not of late, but I mean, the last couple of months, he has definitely gone back to the Alex Bregman that we know. He at least smoked the ball a couple of times yesterday. And once again, the Astros have been getting some bad luck with the exit velo on some of these balls that they've been hitting. But, with Altuve, with Bregman, with Yordan, and with what Yiner's done, which is also probably playing above what his actual level is, I mean, you add Kyle Tucker back to that, you feel really good about it. And you think that Jeremy Payne is going to figure it out eventually. But, I mean, the bottom of the order, is it really dragging it down that much?
No.
Is it that bad? Myers, not good of late. Dubon, not good of late. Like, there's a lot. Jazz McCormick, not good at all this year. Are three struggling hitters enough to pull down a lineup that has this many names in it? It shouldn't be. They're still top five in hits. Still top five in batting average. And yet, all the slugging and stuff is down. And I do not know what the problem is on that front, other than they're just not getting the job done. And yep, it's a marathon, not a sprint, blah, 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 all that stuff. I see the Twitch doing this every single day where it's whenever we criticize the offense, like, oh, you know, it's a long season. Shut up. Yes, it's a long season. What do you want us to do? Show up and say, oh, well, no, they're not hitting today. All right, well, that's the end of the show. That's been Gallant and George on a Monday. I would love to do that. But you can't always be calm while your kitchen's on fire. You can't. Sometimes you get a fire extinguisher. Sometimes you call 911. Are we calling for either of those things right now? No. What we're saying is, this is bad. Why? I don't know. It can't be just Kyle Tucker. And it's annoying that you stabbed your pitchers in the back this weekend by not doing enough at the plate.
Well, because that's why I think it is the top of the order. Like, I'm not going to, like, the bottom of the order, yes, a little support from them would be nice. When the Astros took that, 10-game deficit from that to zero, and they caught back up in the American League West, and they got back above 500, and they took over first place for the first time this season, it was the bottom of the order that was a huge part of that. But this weekend is a great example of where if your best players were just capable of hitting the baseball more consistently over this stretch, you win two out of three games this weekend and you're tied for the division. And yes, it's not the end of the world that you're not. That's all fair. It's a long season. There's a lot to go. But when Yordan Alvarez has gone a month plus now without hitting a home run and Kyle Tucker hasn't played in 3 months and Yiner Diaz, while his adjustments have been great for him, he's completely removed the home run from his arsenal. And it's getting him on base, but no one can move him anywhere. Like, Yordan's 8 for 22 in the last, six games. That's great. Yiner Diaz is great. But they're not doing anything with it. And that's where the Astros made a mistake by not acquiring something at the deadline. They should have acquired a bat. And you didn't have to acquire Yiner Diaz. And I know Dana Brown went on the Astros flagship and he tried to pander this nonsense about how everyone's upset about the Astros trade and now the prospects they gave up for the Blue Jays. And, well, they would have had to give up even more first baseman. Wrong. Lie. You didn't have to do that. All you had to do was get an above replacement player for John Singleton, for Chas McCormick, for Jake Myers. They chose not to do that. Instead, they called up Pedro Leon, who might be a good player. He's also been in the minors for like 4 years, when they could have upgraded this team. I'm not saying adding a first baseman would have solved all your problems, but Dana Brown said that this is good enough. And if the Astros miss the playoffs and the lineup is a huge part of it, then it's Dana Brown's fault. Plain and simple. He chose not to improve this team. You couldn't have acquired a first baseman that's better than John Singleton?
I don't know if it's all Dana's fault, though. I'm not going to go there. I feel like he was hamstrung in what he could do because they have, one, some limitations in the farm system because of trades that they've made the last couple of years that I feel like were mandated by ownership.
That's true. That's true.
So
front office fault.
And those contracts that he came in, I mean, you know, you might feel a little bit better about this Astros team right now. Say you were able to sign some of the guys that I guess you weren't willing to meet the demands of. You would have been able to do it if you didn't make those deals happen. If you didn't have a Jose Abreu deal on the book, or you didn't have a Rafael Montero deal on the book, or Lance McCullers deal on the book. I mean, that's to go further back. There are some contracts here which are really limiting your ability to bring in guys like, I say, a Blake Snell, who just threw a no-hitter. And congratulations to Blake Snell. The haters are never going to call you out again.
Yeah, that was a weird...
You see this clip? We actually have this. I know we haven't... I didn't call for coming into the segment, Sean, but Blake Snell, pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, threw a no-hitter. This is the guy who regularly pitches like 4 2/3 innings and walks a lot of guys. And okay, strikeout numbers are pretty good. Like, I mean, we would obviously love if the Astros had him right now, just given the lack of depth that they have from a pitching perspective. But I guess throwing one no-hitter means that all the haters were wrong all this time.
So, yeah.
How would you describe how you were feeling? I mean, it's the first time you've pitched into the ninth inning, and it's a no-hitter.
They can't say it anymore, you know? Complete game, shutout, no-hitter, leave me alone. But he doesn't go to the ninth, doesn't go to the eighth. You know how good that feels? Just did it. Leave me alone.
I mean,
wouldn't that be great if you could just do that?
For, like, everything?
Right. Like, if you have one start that's good in the majors, and you can just say, just leave me alone.
But that's like, that'd be like me being like, at one point I weighed like 170 pounds. It was like a decade ago, but like not fat. I don't have to work for it now. I don't have to try to go to the gym to lose weight. But at one point, I had it once. That's a weird take to even have about yourself. Just be like, did it once. Can't say nothing anymore.
He deserves credit for the no-hitter. No-hitters are impressive.
Yeah.
Especially considering how this season started for him. But it's a weird, like, all the haters were saying I couldn't pitch nine innings.
Did it once.
Yeah, because you didn't. Like, you barely threw six innings, dude.
You did it once.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's, you never do it. So why would we think you would do it? It makes no sense to be like, Blake Snell, what a horse. Last of a dying breed. Take the ball. He'll never give it up. And it's like, no, that's not how he's played his, like, 7-year baseball career?
Now, while we make fun of him, I mean, he's been lights out the last two starts.
For sure.
And I mean, he's better than everyone on the Astros pitching staff right now.
Two starts.
Well, I mean, over the two starts, though.
No, but we would have been bitching and freaking out the first 7 terrible starts that he had, and then when he went on the IL. Like, we would have been freaking out.
True, but the good thing is, I mean, with how bad the Astros bullpen was, would we have been? Because the Astros bullpen would have made these games even worse in the first couple of months of the season. It feels like by the time Blake Snell figured it out, like, the Astros bullpen wouldn't be there to throw it all away.
It's true. I think, like, this is...
They'd also be paying him, like, $30 million.
Yeah, that's true. People would be upset about that.
You might still have Jose Abreu on your team. You're probably not cutting guys left and right.
It's like the butterfly effect. If you sign Blake Snell...
Everything would have been perfect.
Jose Abreu's still on the team.
Everything would have been perfect.
Oh, okay. This definitely does feel like a response to, like, his Twitter mentions. Unless he is just actively listening to like sports radio all over Tampa Bay and San Francisco and San Diego.
If you're an athlete, nothing good comes from Twitter or on any social media or listening to sports radio. Now, we encourage them to listen to sports radio. We do. You know, you need to be in entertained.
Especially if you have the Nielsen box. MLB player with the Nielsen box.
Got to supplement that seven-figure salary.
With that extra $20 a month or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the only way we can tell who's listening.
So you can have a pager attached to your belt that doesn't work when you're listening via Bluetooth headphones because they're a cartel.
Yep.
But Blake Snell's pitching well. And the Astros starters are pitching well. The offense has been diddly-poo, though, of late. And I wonder when it's going to turn around because Kyle Tucker alone does not seem like the kind of thing that's going to help the Astros have an offense that's only better than the White Sox. That's where they're at right now. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glasses. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter in promo code BET975 and they will match your first deposit up to $1,000. Huzzah! And you can bet on so many things at mybookie.ag. What kind of things? The presidential election. Blackjack and poker with live dealers. Baseball games. Astros are about to take on the Texas Rangers for three. I wish you could bet on whether or not Rangers broadcaster Dave Raymond will accidentally call the Rangers the Astros again, which you'll hear next. I really wish that would happen, but you can't bet on that at mybookie.ag. You can bet on the result, though. You can bet on that and so many other things. The Olympics at mybookie.ag. You enter that promo code. They will match your first deposit. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Is Billy Bob a slur for whiteies? Because we got a texter calling us Billy Bob's, Joe.
Oh, yeah. This guy's upset about what we were saying about Lamar Jackson. So I'm assuming, yes, that's a slur.
Oh. What was he upset about? That interception he threw in the AFC Championship game. Was all time bad. He played poorly in that game.
Yeah. He has a new text. Okay, because he was texting earlier.
He's called us Billy Bob's four times.
He's very upset.
I thought that Billy Bob meant Fatty Boom Batty. Because Billy Bob was the character in Varsity Blues who gets all the concussions, who's also morbidly obese.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming it's a slur for white guys. I guess.
That's not cool, man. That's not cool. It's 2024. White guys have been through enough. Okay?
I think that it'd be for like Southern white guys too.
I think it is, and he just doesn't like know where we're from, but which is okay.
Ooh, I don't know, Joe. You seem like you want this guy to know where you're from.
I'm from Illinois. It's just not the South.
I want people to think I'm from the South when I talk about my athletic ability. Northerners aren't good at sports. It's a fact.
That's true.
Northerners aren't good.
That's true.
So whenever I talk about my high school playing career, I bring up the fact that I played in Florida. I think you're going to bring up that I played in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Kidding me? Yeah. No. Hell no. I was too good for Massachusetts.
You know who else played in Florida? Played high school football in Florida? Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know who else? Andre Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Two peas in a pod. Three peas in a pod. What's the difference?
Lamar, Andre, Paul.
Yeah. Three greats.
I don't see South color. Is Lamar Jackson a Billy Bob?
I really don't
Andre
know what
Johnson
that means,
a
so
Billy
I'm
Bob?
Guessing now.
Honestly, maybe.
But by this texter's logic, maybe. We don't know.
We're not sure.
The Texas Rangers and Astros do battle tonight. The battle for the silver boot! Astros need to get some wins back in the win column. Mm. Looked like they had this thing not too long ago. It was the one team that they were actually beating more often than not, barely, earlier in the year. Dave Raymond, who I believe was a Houston-based broadcaster not too long ago, is the Rangers TV broadcaster. He and his color commentator guy, what's his name?
CJ Nikowski?
I think so. They will go on little whiny tangents when the Astros are playing the Rangers from time to time. And listen, I don't know, Dave. I think he's called into the show, the station before. I think to the morning guys. He seems like a nice guy. We all have slip-ups from time to time when we're talking, right? We all, from time to time, sound a little like Kamala, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Dave Raymond had a moment like that on over the weekend while trying to call a home run hit by Corey Seager.
Out of the game. Seager most likely won't follow the same style, and he swings and smashes that one. A soaring drive out to right. It is gone! Of the year for Corey Seager, and it gets the Astros out front early.
Oh no, it's the one team you can't confuse the team you're covering with.
I mean, I know he did TV for the Astros for a while, but that's a tough slip up.
That's the only reason there's somewhat of an excuse for him, because he has done Astros games in the past.
But it's been, what, a decade?
It has been a very long time since I accidentally almost slipped up and gave out the Texans flagship phone number.
Uh-huh.
It's happened a couple of times. I've caught myself. Sometimes you throw out an old phone number. I still, for the life of me, could not remember the number in Seattle. I have no idea what it was. I used to have to keep on reading it. I think it was because it didn't really roll off the... It was like one of those ones where if you looked at like a dial pad with the letters on each number, it made sense. But for this, it's a lot, makes a lot more sense to do it the way that we do it and that the Texans flagship do it.
Yeah, I think it was my first time filling and hosting for Jeremy.
Yeah.
And I started saying the Astros flagship number, and Joel was just giving me this look soon as I started saying it. Nice. Deserved. Because I was given the wrong station phone number.
It would be funny if you threw out the phone number after asking a question that would be very incendiary. So all of a sudden that other station, the competitor, is dealing with angry calls about a topic they're not even talking about.
I think Josh did that one time when he was here in us.
He did?
Where I think he gave their number, but I think he like told everyone what it was a bit. And he was like a fake giveaway. And I think he set the number super high. So they kept calling. He either did it to them, or maybe he did it here when he was there. But
I like
that's,
that.
That's a funny bit.
One of many who is the
yes.
He has gotten the trifecta. He has worked at all of the stations in town.
So have I.
Yeah,
I've hit the home run because I hit 1560 as well.
Oh, nice!
When it existed.
Look at you.
So you know.
Damn.
Just getting it all done.
No,
I'm unbreakable only... record.
Yeah, because also there was 94 ones, so. That's five.
Wow.
So 1560 doesn't exist anymore. It does, but it's not an English-speaking station anymore. 94-1, don't know what that is. So Joe won.
Hit for the cycle.
People want to know middle management, Joe, while we're talking about radio things. So is Josh Innes going to be filling in anytime soon on the Killer Bees?
I don't know Josh that well. I've only met him once, and we both were heavily intoxicated when we met.
Ooh. Oh, what happened?
We were just at a wedding. It was before everything happened.
Everything happened?
Well, like before he came back to Houston.
Oh.
While he was in Philly.
Whose wedding was it?
Ben Nance.
Oh, you got invited to Ben Nance's wedding?
Yeah, because he went to when him and his wife, or it was Lisa was their fiance at the time.
Yeah, I know that. I know them very well. Yeah, they didn't invite me. What the hell?
When they moved to Chicago, Ben.
Way cooler with them than you, Joe.
Ben went to the same school as I.
Oh, no.
To get his
crap.
Degree.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
We both transferred in the same semester. So we spent a lot of time together.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I love Ben.
Yeah, he's great. He's the best. I don't know. Maybe. I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, Landry was on Friday. I never thought that would happen, to be honest. So
I didn't either. I mean, Texas flagship did some BS things with me.
Yeah.
With my non-compete after I got zero severance.
Yeah.
Again, who cares? And non-competes. One thing that President Joe is doing that I am a big fan
They're
of.
They're gone.
Is that non-competes are gone as of September. But yeah, I remember... I did like a fill-in show with Lance where I actually, a couple of times when Lance was asking me about the flagship, I defended the flagship and they sent a cease and desist to Todd. So they said I couldn't do a show and I was like, but you didn't give me any severance or anything like that. So I can't like earn a dollar, an hour's worth of radio pay after my contract had expired in January. It happens,
I guess. But yeah,
but enforcing a non-compete after a contract expired 7 months before is kind of crazy.
Yeah. I wouldn't rule it out. I saw on Twitter he's got a He'll be here in a couple weeks.
Okay. So middle management Joe. Josh Ennis is going to be replacing the Killer Bees.
No.
Interesting. Interesting. No, I saw it in your eyes right there.
I just wouldn't rule it out that Josh.
You wouldn't rule it out. Okay.
Makes an appearance on the station.
Podcast, Sean.
Maybe on the show.
Podcast title, Joe announces huge lineup change.
No, thank goodness intern Ryan's not here because he would try to do that. but yeah, so I wouldn't, you know. You never know who you're going
to. You never know. Okay, interesting. Joe George says,
quote on Josh Ennis returning to. I wouldn't be surprised.
Before you know,
the one time
Barrett Sports Media is going to like write something about something I say on the station. It's going to be this, taken out of context.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the texter confirms. Yes, I hate white people. Okay, well that's good to know. That's what Billy Bob's is.
Hey, but thank you for listening.
Derogatory term for white people. It's fine. Kalon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, everything you needed to hear from Andre Johnson's induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame over the weekend, plus what's going on at Houston Texans training camp in Ohio today. Stick around.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros look to get back in the win column and avoid a third straight loss tonight against the Texas Rangers in Arlington, that ugly-ass ballpark with many obstructed views. The Rangers, they have cooled off of late. I don't know, Joe, if you're still more concerned about them than the Mariners in the AL West, but things have split a little bit more in the AL West standings. The Rangers are now 4.5 games back of the Astros. They have lost 7 of their last 10.
Yeah, I think I have to say at this point I'm not worried about the Rangers.
Oh, wow. Joe.
Well, at this point, like, the only team I'm worried about, like, I don't really care. Like, it's just about the Astros. Like this is – worry about yourself. This is kind of one of those
nice.
Where
I like that.
The Seattle is not playing great baseball. The Rangers are not playing great baseball. You are not playing great baseball. I think someone put this out. I think this is correct. The AL West, those three teams had 9 hits yesterday total, I believe. The Mariners, the Rangers – and the Mariners, the Rangers, and the Astros.
Oh, boy.
Like, they each had, like, 3 hits.
Yeah, they're worse than the AL Central now. Like, the American League West.
Yeah.
It's worse than the AL Central has been over the course of the past 5 years or so.
Yeah. All three teams had a combined 9 hits on Sunday yesterday.
Yeah, not good.
So
the Astros have no excuse on that front.
Yeah. I would say, no, I'm not more worried about the Rangers versus the Mariners. At this point, the Mariners' pitching is still better. They made better moves at the deadline than the Rangers did, and the Rangers have fallen apart a little bit. They're 53-59. Max Scherzer is once again out on the injured list this season. He's probably headed for retirement, it feels like, at this point. So,
I do not like that Hunter Brown is pitching tonight because he doesn't pitch very well against the Texas Rangers.
Counter, I do like that he's pitching tonight because I want him to prove you wrong.
Oh.
Even though they're still kind of scuffling. But, like, that is a better lineup, so I kind of want to see him in this moment.
He has his third highest ERA of the season against the Texas Rangers. It's at a 7. Mm. Didn't look great in the postseason last year, which is third behind his ERA against Cleveland, 10.13, and his ERA against Kansas City, 121.5. I just wanted to say that last number because it is jarring.
Makes you giggle.
121. 0.5.
Is that higher or lower than Blair Henley's ERA?
Of course. You've got to bring it back.
Sorry.
Just a little drive-by on the dead. Joe's going into the graveyard.
I opening up
the van with an AK. Rat-a-tat-tat-tat. On a dead man.
But, you know, let's see. You know, that ERA is very high against the Rangers, so let's see Hunter Brown bringing that down tonight. Like prove to me that you can keep adjusting. So, would you say this is a must-win series? For the Astros?
It's always a must-win series because I have standards, unlike the Twitch, which is like, oh, well, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I know. But
come on, guys. We got 7 straight ALCS here. Come on.
We expect better.
Come on. Raise your standards. Stop having the same kind of energy of a man who's being walked on by his lady and or man.
Good point.
But it's you guys are like, I'm going into the garage to have a beer to escape the yelling, the shrill yelling of the person I settled for.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to stay in the bathroom for an hour until my legs fall asleep sitting on the toilet so I can watch an episode of a TV show that my wife doesn't like and or husband.
What show would that be for you?
Well, I don't have that problem because I only watch what I want to watch.
That's a good point.
Yeah, this is a reason. I mean, there are so many good reasons to never get married. I know J.D. Vance wants everyone to, you know, get married and have the kids, but yeah. Your boy's feeling great about where he's at right now in life. Me and the cat,
you should.
We're having a great time.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Did you play flag football this weekend?
No.
Oh, okay.
I need to get new cleats still.
Date update per the Twitch request? Anything? Any dates this weekend?
If I'm not telling you anything, things are going good. I only tell you guys when things are bad, I will tell you.
Okay.
When things are not bad, I won't tell you.
Oh. That's an interesting. Okay, that's good to know.
No, because I mean, it's weird to like brag. Like, yeah, I had so much sex this weekend. You know, like that's a weird thing to do. But
I mean,
I
wasn't thinking that.
But no,
but I see what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying. By the way, I'm not saying that happened. all I'm saying is, I think if I talk about dating stories, I'm only going to tell the disasters because those are funny.
Mm-hmm.
Flexing about going on a date is weird. It's like what 22-year-olds do. It's like, yeah, I got a girlfriend.
It's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair.
I'm validated in life because I have somebody else who lets me knock boots with them. Yeah. Anyway, Andre Johnson's in the Hall of Fame. He's been validated by the Pro Football Hall of Fame committee.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't thank them. He was pointed out by John McClain.
But he didn't validate them. They validated him.
But it doesn't matter because it's about the fans, Joe. And here is Andre Johnson thanking the fans of the Houston Texans. Andre.
I'll end off with this. I'm happy as hell again to be your first Pro Football Hall of Famer. Thank you.
Here I'm getting choked up a little bit there. Very happy for him. And yeah, he did all of that despite a teleprompter snafu.
I think that's what you could kind of realize was because he kept saying I'm happy as hell.
Yeah, he said that a couple of times.
That's when you kind of I was like, something's off here, like all of a sudden. And then we found out, quickly after that, the teleprompter, sabotage.
It would
clearly a Cowboys fan or a Titans fan.
I'm glad nobody zagged. I'm glad that there's nobody online that was like, Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame speech, garbage. Like, I'm glad we did not see that online. Only to find out that the teleprompter got nuked.
Man, that would be, you just have to be such a negative person to watch like a Hall of Fame ceremony. And think, like, want to dump on it in that moment. Like, even if it's not perfect.
Twitch would do it, that's for sure.
Yeah, of course. They dump on everything. Like, it's just their life. Even if it's a bad speech, it's okay. But he did a good job. I enjoyed it. I watched, like, very brief clips of the other ones, too.
I didn't watch any of them. I only watched Andre's speech and Gary Kubiak's presentation of it.
My plan was to watch, but as soon as the rain delay happened, I was like, I'm out. Change of plans. I'm going to go see Deadpool again. And I did that instead.
You saw Deadpool again?
Yep.
But you just saw it a week ago.
Yep. I took my brother this time.
Well, but you're still seeing it for a second time.
Yeah, I know.
So what, were you looking over at your brother the whole time to see how he was reacting to things that you'd reacted to?
Are you not a multi-time movie goer?
Not a week later.
Oh, I am.
No. No. I mean, I generally like space it out a little bit. Like, I'll watch things over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But I need about a year or so.
Okay. Yeah, no, he wanted to go, and I don't want to make him go alone. Mm-hmm. I'm a solo moviegoer myself.
Yeah, solo movie going is fine.
Yeah, I know, but not for everyone.
Is he not? Is he ashamed to go by himself?
No, he just, you know, it's something we do together often.
Okay.
Is go see comic book movies. So.
But you cheated on him see it by yourself before.
Yep, I did that.
Was he mad about that?
No, he works two jobs. He's busy.
Okay.
So I know.
But you did cheat on your brother and watch a movie with
him. Yeah, I didn't want to wait for him, so sorry, dude.
But you did watch it again with him.
Yes, to make good for it.
Do you feel like he has been made good by your
That's a good question.
Dishonorable move?
I did pay for almost everything.
Oh, guilty. He felt guilty about it.
But so I feel like that covers most of it.
Yeah, he has no room to complain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Movies these days, not cheap.
True.
Where'd you see it at?
A Cinemark.
Okay. I was wondering if you went big time. I pick experience.
4DX.
Is that the ones where has they bring you food?
Oh, yeah, reclining chairs. You can order food. Studio Movie Grill is also pretty good outside of town.
I'm not
a little cheaper.
Yeah, it's not my favorite thing. Have you guys seen the new movie theaters though, where there's three screens?
Yeah, I watched Top Gun Maverick in that.
Where they had the screens on the side?
Mm-hmm.
What's that like?
It made you feel like you were in the cockpit for the
flight
scenes. They only did it for the flight scenes, but it was really sick.
Interesting.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
That feels like a lot for me. That feels like sensory overload to have three screens going on at once.
It would only have to be in situations like that, where it's a movie where it actually enhances it. Like just watching any movie with things on the walls, I'd be like, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good on this. But yeah, I don't like the movie theater with the food, with the restaurant.
Yeah, I don't like
part
it.
Of it.
It's not usually for me.
I don't like eating. Well, I also don't like eating in the complete dark.
You are going to get food all over your shirt.
Yeah, that's just like
every time I do.
I just want a popcorn. I just want popcorn. Maybe some candy. That's all I want.
Yeah, but sometimes they got something really good.
The movie theater we go to has a Pizza Hut in it, and it's actually like
I've had pizza while in a movie theater. I'm like, eh.
But okay.
Not adding anything to this.
Fine. Maybe you don't want to order the dinner for a meal while you're watching the movie, but you can order a drink, and you don't have to wait in line or leave the theater to get a drink, and it's an alcoholic drink.
That's a positive. And it's now typically though it's stadium prices though. So you're paying like $12. That's,
well, it's already stadium prices for popcorn.
That's true.
Movie theater.
It's true.
You're $6 for popcorn or $12 for beer. What's better?
$12 for beer.
Probably.
I'd rather spend more money on beer than popcorn.
Yeah, and actually, it's probably less. I think honestly, even the Regal that's over on I-10, like now that even they've got a bar. Everyone's got bars.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
They've all figured it out. I finally got renovated after like 6 years.
Yeah, I went to the movies this weekend too, and I saw the bar. I was like, oh.
What movie did you see, Sean?
I pulled a doubleheader.
Pulled a doubleheader?
Yeah, I saw Twisters and then Deadpool and Wolverine.
Was Twisters good?
Twisters was great.
Did you?
I really like Twisters.
Did you pay for tickets for both?
Who are you talking to?
Well, I'm just saying you did a doubleheader.
I'll just say, who are you talking to? I'll say in the past. I won't say what I did yesterday.
Criminal
I won't say what I did yesterday.
Criminal Sean over here.
I won't say what I did yesterday.
We don't want Sean arrested on his way home.
I won't say what I did Saturday. In the past, I have done the doubleheader where you only pay for the front half.
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I've done that.
Who hasn't?
And so Saturday, I will not say what I've done, but I've done the other stuff a lot in the past.
I did Horton Hears a Who and Avatar at the...
that's a weird combo.
I know it was. It was a long day. the Carousel Mall in Syracuse, New York, back in college.
The longest time I've ever been in a movie theater was when The Dark Knight Rises came out.
Mm-hmm.
Movie theater by my house did all three movies in a row. Whew. Where the newest one came out at midnight, and we did that. Wow. So we were there for like 9 hours. It was a
nine hours. That is insane.
I would do a lot
It was Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and then right at midnight, Dark Knight Rises.
Damn,
started.
That is
it was so awesome
much management.
But it was
during
such
Batman
a bad
Begins.
Idea.
During Batman Begins, that's where I'm like, I'm in line. I'm like, just,
yes.
I'm like, hey, I need to be peaking 4 hours from now.
Yes, that's 100% what it was. Like, if you had to get a nap in, that was nap time. Like, that's when you got popcorn and everything. But it was a lot.
I did it with Kick-Ass and Hot Tub Time Machine.
Ooh, that's
and
a fun combo.
It was a very fun combo.
There's actually an actress who was in both of those movies.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know, 12 when this came out?
You would have remembered her at a little bit of a different age. But anyway, yeah. She was in both those movies. So there you go, guys. There you go. Hot movie takes here on Galan and George. The Astros were winning. I don't know. We'd be talking about them. The Houston Texans were doing anything, we would be talking about that. Instead, here we are. Here we are. Joe George, Sean Mapes, I am Paul Gallant. Coming up next, we got a little garbage time to wrap up the show. And in garbage time, we're going to talk about all sorts of different things. For example, one of the newest Houston Astros. Maybe a bit of a freak. Why? You'll find out next. Stick around.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is Caleb Ferguson, new Astros reliever, a freak for this? He was asked about moving from the Yankees to the Astros, had this to say, quote, "I guess you could say I was a little bit shocked or surprised or whatever, but it's a business. I've always been interested in playing in Texas. So here we are." When asked why he was so interested in pitching in Texas, he said, quote, "I don't know why. It's centrally located and easy to get places. The humidity is nice to pitch in."
I guess I just don't quite understand what he's saying, because I've read this quote like three times.
He likes pitching in the humidity. I mean, at Minute Maid Park, given that the air conditioning is not being turned on all the way anymore.
Check that box.
Like, it's definitely humid. You're going to sweat at Minute Maid Park.
I love the beginning. He's like, I just always interested in playing in Texas.
I don't know why.
Like, Buc-ee's, Whataburger.
Well, I mean, that's like, not why you'd want to come to Texas, either, like, of those things. They're very...
It's always hot. There's no snow.
Yeah, that's more of a reason. I would say the whole, you know, taking a look at this from, Buc-ee's or Whataburger here.
He just said Texas, so.
Yeah, I know, but I would say, like, those are at the top of your list for moving to Texas. You're a loser.
That's a good point.
I came here for the Whataburger.
He likes the humidity.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a freak if he loves the humidity. Who loves the humidity?
Is there something with, like, it makes it easier to, like, get the sticky stuff going if you're sweating a lot?
Are you calling him a cheater?
Maybe better grip on the ball when it's humid?
Well, because what they say is what's only allowed now is the rosin and sweat
on your
combo.
Arm?
Mm-hmm. And so if it's humid, you're sweating more. And so it's stickier. Mm. Right?
Yeah. Stick, baby.
The stickier, the better. That's what Caleb Ferguson's saying right now.
Yeah. Give it to me sticky. Sticky, icky, icky.
The humidity is nice to pitch in. Well, we hope that's the case, Caleb Ferguson, because your ERA is 5. So
he pitched yesterday, didn't he? Didn't give up any runs.
Well, it's the Tampa Bay Rays. They struck out 392 times this weekend, give or take.
The more I think about all the strikeouts this weekend, the less I'm thrilled about Friday night with Kikuchi.
I mean, I'm
just
still,
like, the more we talk through it, I'm just like, ugh.
I'm still happy that it happened, but. As always, the Astros keep doing this on the weekend where the vibes are killed by what they do on Sunday. How about better vibes from Sunday next weekend against the Boston Red Sox, kid? Time for a little garbage time to wrap this thing up.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Remember Brandon Jacobs, running back for the New York Giants back in the day? Well, in high school, Brandon Jacobs apparently played a game after doing cocaine.
Skrr, hold up. He did a line of cocaine before a game in high school.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of my homeboys that graduated the year before me. I was walking into the weight room. He was like, "Hey, guess what I got? What you got?" I'm like, "I got that white girl." I'm like, "Oh, for real? You want to try it?" I'm like, "Yeah. You try it."
Man, you said, "I'm a dibble and dabble."
Yeah. What game was it?
What was the game? 338, four touchdowns. Killed it. I destroyed it. It was easy. I felt like I was the only one out there.
Nah, look,
I ain't never did it again.
Nah, man.
I should have did it again.
It's risky business, but 338.
OTD, yeah.
Bro, imagine trying to tackle this high school.
Imagine trying to tackle this cocaine. What are you talking about? Come on.
Look, man, a dub is a dub, and however you get it, they don't test you for it.
Jacobs could probably have run for 100-plus drunk in high school. Cocaine is definitely, you know, more of an upper, but Brandon Jacobs, with his size, could easily have run for 100 and multiple touchdowns while absolutely hammered.
Like, stumbling over.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Puking in between plays.
Him saying 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, like, I'm sorry. Like, I assume that's what his average is.
Yeah, he was massive.
Like, have you seen, like, the Derrick Henry stats from high school?
They're awesome.
His coach was, like, giving him the ball 600 times a season. And, yeah, it's credit to Brandon Jacobs, but I am a little bit like, I don't think those 16-year-olds were going to tackle you anyway. Like,
probably not.
Sorry.
Continuing to go through garbage time. Eagles cornerback Isaiah Rogers got new cleats. They look like Spider-Man on the top, and on the bottom says Dallas sucks.
Nice.
Here's the problem. Is Rogers, who was suspended all of last year with the Indianapolis Colts for violating the league's gambling policy, actually going to make it onto the Eagles to have these Dallas sucks Spider-Man cleats?
Maybe he thinks that, like, this is going to help his case. He's gonna, like, the fans are going to rally behind him.
I guess, yeah.
Worked for Charles James back in the day.
That's true. Nick Sirianni, his little fan engagement attempts haven't exactly ingratiated him that much with Philadelphia. This is a bizarre move, and I mean, hey, like, you've burned a bridge with a possible destination if you get cut.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
Yeah, it is tough to be Mr. Philly fan, like, yeah, the Dallas sucks, where it's like, you might need a job from them pretty soon. I don't know.
I feel like you got to play a couple games versus that team to start at least one game minimum.
This is such an insane pander move, the more I think about it, because, yeah, he didn't play for the Eagles last year.
Yeah, like debut it the first time you're playing against the Cowboys in 2024, and then, like, everyone's like, oh, okay. But, like, in training camp, it's kind of weird.
A little strange. And one last one to wrap up garbage time. We're being asked if we talked about the fight. No, because the only fights we talk about are ones that involve billionaires. And Elon Musk has said that he will fight Venezuelan sort of elected president Nicolas Maduro. Because Nicolas Maduro had a, like, long rambling rant where he called out all the haters because he's mad that people don't believe in the election that he won.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so he challenged Elon Musk to a fight. Well, the last time we saw Elon Musk challenge, it didn't happen.
Yeah, we're still waiting for him and Zuckerberg to duke it out.
Anyway, guys, that's going to wrap up today's Gallant and George. Big thanks to Sean Mapes. Big thanks to Joe George. I'm really Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN. 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.